Last Shabbos, we read the Parsha of Tzitzit, the section in the Torah which is concerned with Tzitzit. Interesting is that there are a few controversies about this mitzvah of Tzitzit. Of course, the section dealing with Tzitzit, emphasizes that mitzvah tzitzis is a double concept, a twofold principle, commandment. Tzitzis consists of tcheles and lavan. There is a controversy between Rebbe and Rabbanan. It's the first controversy about whether tcheles and lavan are interdependent. One cannot fulfill the mitzvah unless he has both colors inserted in the tzitzit, in his garment, namely the lavan and the tcheles, or there are two mitzvahs completely separated from each other, and even a person who has no tcheles, as a matter of fact, we don't have tcheles, can discharge his duty pertaining to mitzvah tzitzis by having the tzitzit made exclusively of lavan. It is known, this controversy is known under Tchiles Ma'akev, Ma'akev is Alavon, or Ein Tchiles Ma'akev is Alavon. Rebbe and Rachovim disagreed. It's according to Rebbe, who thinks that Tzitzis and the Lavon and Tchiles, the white part and the blue part and Tzitzis, are interdependent, they cannot be separated. According to him, we wouldn't have to wear Tzitzis, because we don't have Tchiles. As a matter of fact, there is a Rishon who accepted Rebbe's view. He was always he was a loner, this is the Balamoya. He always comes up with this sensational opinion. He said that the Halacha is like Rebbe, Tchiles Ma'akeves, Lavan Ma'akeves, Tchiles. So the Ramban came, let us examine his Tra'ab canvas. According to him, there's no need to wear another canvas because we are not fulfilling the mitzvah anyway, because Tchiles is missing.
Not allowed to wear another
comfort. Yes, sure, you're right. There is another controversy. I just want to enumerate the controversies. There is another controversy about tchiles. What kind of a color is it? Rashi and the Rambam disagreed about it. Both say that tchiles resembles the color of the sky, of the firmament. The question is, what sky? The morning, the midday sky, or the evening sky, when the sky begins to darken at eventide? Rashi says, no one paid attention to Rashi. Rashi says that tchiles represents the evening sky, or rather when the sky begins to darken at eventide. According to Rashi, it means the color of tchiles is very dark. It borders almost on the black. The Rambam disagrees with Rashi. Rambam says, "Vizui dmus orekia," and this is the color of the firmament. And this is the color of the firmament seen in a blue sky under the sun when the sun is shining. So it is certainly most probably, he calls Torish Orekia, most probably that the Rambam recommends that the tchiles should resemble the color of the sky at midday, at noon. It's different, this is a light blue. As a matter of fact, the Chachmei HaKabbalah have developed new concepts. According to Rashi, tchiles represents Midas Adin, dark black. According to the Rambam, tchiles represents Midas HaChesed. Chesed, not Rachm, Chesed. Chesed. It's light. It's light blue. As a matter of fact, you know, there is a group from Chazin HaChesedim who wear tchiles. It's interesting, I examined their tchiles.
Rashi.
Rashi, yeah. Dark.
From Italy, they have
such. Rashi Shittim. I don't know why they in Shochnor. Yet Chelis Demel Yam, but sometimes it depends the Yam when.
Yeah.
In the late afternoon or in, at noontime.
They have some sort of a. From Italy, some sort of a
bug. Yeah, but Rashi is before Shochnor. Ki Arikia Amashchir. Like the sky which darken, begins to darken. Lays Erev, with even time.
And how the space is dark.
This is, we have two controversies. We have a third controversy. Namely, what is the ratio between Tcheles and Lavan? There are three sheets, three opinions. The Ram's opinion is that the ratio is 1 to 7. It means one chut out of eight. It means that a psil Tcheles is died, half of it is died, the other half remains Lavan. Because, you know, actually we speak about tzitzes having eight chutim. It's not correct.
Four.
We fold them, so four. You get a four. According to the Ram, it's a half of a chut. Half of the thread. It means 1 to 7. According to Ra, to the Ravet, it is 2 to 6. And according to the Bala Tosfos and Rashi, it is 4 and 4.
Equal.
4 and 4, equal.
Is that kind of
psil tcheles? Psil means the chut with which you wind the tzitzes. Mm-hmm. You have to use tcheles for winding the tzitzes. And that is psil tcheles. But the tcheles and lovon simply are equal partners, and each one gets 4 chutim. 4 chutim or 2 chutim, I mean. Now there's another problem. How do you obtain the color, the dye? Blue dye for tzitzis. Is any dye, blue dye, good or it's a special dye which you need? So we Jews know, I remember as a child I knew about it, that there is a fish which once in 7 years, once in 70 years, climbs up and lands, and when you catch him in time, you take his blood and you make a dye out of the blood. Yeah. The question is why chalozin? I mean, it heard invention of the word chalozin. Is it a special aloha of Meshe Mesinai? That the dye for the tzitzis, for the trailers of the tzitzis must be obtained from the chalozin? We don't have such a aloha. So why chalozin? Interesting, no one has asked this question. The first one who came with this problem, He doesn't ask. He gives the answer without asking, raising the question. What's the Rambam? And the Rambam developed a new theory. The Rambam says, and Chazal have very much discriminated between Tcheles, genuine Tcheles, which is obtained from the blood of the Chalozin, and Tcheles, which is obtained from a plant called Koliyu. Koliyu, I mean. And that's why, and Tcheles from Chalozin was very expensive. Very expensive. And Tcheles from Kol Yilu, from some plant, it was quite reasonable. And Chazar, Ani Adi Shem Alekeichem, Ashatis Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim, so Rashi quotes the Gemara. I mean, I am the God who will punish a person who misrepresents and sells Kol Yilu as genuine Tcheles. Because the difference in price was enormous. It was enormous in difference in price. Matter of fact, poor people couldn't afford trailers and tzitzis. Yeah, the question is what is the quality of the genuine trailers? As far as color is concerned, there's no difference between the blue obtained from a plant or the blue obtained from the blood of the chalozin. Is the Rambam interesting? The Rambam's right. The Rambam writes, trailers are mura beteira b'chol mokim, u'atzemer atzavua b'psoch shebekechil. וזוהי דמוס הורקיה, נירס לעין, בתאורש הורקיה. והתחילס האמור הבציציס, צורך שתהיה צביו ידוע, שימדס ביופשו ולא תשתנה. וכל שלי ניצווה, בעיס הצביו שבו, שהוא כאין הורקיה, פוסל לציציס. In English is, the blue thread, wherever it is mentioned in the Torah, is wool dyed azur, the color of the firmament seen in a blue sky, when the sun is shining. The blue thread mentioned in connection with cities must be dyed with a special dye which retains its luster without change without change. Wool that has not been dyed in this dye is unfit for the use as the thread for tzitzis. So what tcheles requires in tzitzis means a color which will not fade. The blood of chalozin apparently had that quality. Had that quality. The dye obtained from the chalozin did not fade, did not lose its luster. No matter how long you wore the tzitzis, the tcheles retained its beauty from. I'm calling it beauty. It's beauty. The same as the new thread. The permanence of color. According to the Ram, you don't need chalozin. If you can develop chemical with such a dye, I don't know. Whether do we have such dyes now?
No, when it's the sun.
They used to say.
They oxidize in the sun.
I don't know. I'm just reading the Rambam.
I mean, but what do you mean?
Yeah, of course, oxidation must take place.
Eventually, it has eventually.
But this is the Rambam Shite. As chalozin stands, as a metaphor for a permanent dye. This is the Rambam Shite. And interesting is that the Rambam applies it only to tzitzis. For instance, tchelis in Big Tikkun doesn't require it. Just the color determines the quality. So while in tzitzis, is not color alone is not enough. The permanence of the dye. As a matter of fact, tcheles and lovon represent actually two approaches of man to himself and to the world outside of himself. Lovon in Hebrew, classical Hebrew, signifies first white, the color, but it also signifies clarity or distinctiveness and openness. Lovon denotes rationality, simplicity, and truthfulness, which is obvious to everybody. Something which is fundamentally, which constitutes an elementary truth, is lovon. For instance, I'll give an example. Ein advorim advorim mechuvorim kasimlo. Pulses are similar. Advorim mechuvorim kasimlo. What does it mean? The statement is as clear as the dress, as the garment, as the skirt. It means a white skirt, which used to be very white. If you say something is self-evident, it's obvious, it doesn't require an explanation, it's rational, you say, advorim mechuvorim kasimlo. Chazal interpret the parsha in Kiseitze, upolses asimlo, and upolses asimlo. If he could prove it, beyond any reasonable doubt, mechuvorim kasimlo, that's how Chazal say. For instance, you say in Hebrew, advorim melubonim.
Clear.
It's white. The rabbi, when I take the Rambam many times, I say, there's no light, there's no whiteness, there's nothing to it. Libel for different reasons than white heat. When it gets very hot, so the heat is white heat. Yeah. This is because of the color, of the appearance of the heat. If we say in Hebrew lovon, we mean to express our acceptance of the word and our certitude that the judgment is correct and self-evident beyond and outside any reasonable doubt. Tcheles is just the opposite. Tcheles, the way our rabbis interpreted, Tcheles deimel yam, yam deimel rokiya, rokiya deimel kisa kovet. What did they have in mind when they formulated that? What did they have in mind? What did they have in mind? Tcheles resembles the firmament, the sky, the blue sky. The blue sky resembles the sea.
The sea
resembles the sky. And the sky resembles the celestial throne. Distance. Inapproachability. Something which is beyond my reach, my touch. Something which is outside and beyond my control. The Rokia is blue because it's very distant. That our Chazal understood. Very distant. I can never reach it. The sea is blue because it's very vast. It's vast. It's big. It's also endless. I can tell you from my own experience. I experience infinity, endlessness, boundlessness when I watch two things. The sea and the sky. Of course, the sky is more typical and more expressive. You observe the sky and the constellations of the stars, the billions of stars. I mean, in terms of astronomical distances, your head begins to. One gets dizzy. And this is Tchelos. And of course, the throne of God is above the world, beyond the universe. This is Tchelos. Whatever we cannot reach, whatever we cannot, is outside of our control, whatever you don't understand, whatever suggests mystery to us, is considered by Chazal, by our rabbis, the Tchelos represent this, the mystery in the world. As a matter of fact, the Jewish approach to the world has always been not a uniform one. Was always been an antithetic, ambivalent one. Because the world itself, reality, is surrounding us, and we ourselves, I mean, says, display, what shall I say, two streaks. In the world, for instance, one streak in the world is one of rationality. It is a world well organized, which follows the principle of cause and effect. There are no jumps in the world. There's no leaps in this world. And the human mind can grasp the world, can understand it, the human mind. For instance, I mean, if man could place, if science could place a man on the moon on the exact spot which they figured out before, so mathematical calculations for a computer doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So you see that there is a streak of rationality to the world. On the other hand, the Jew, the world is rational, it lends itself to understanding and to interpretation in precise scientific terms. This on the one hand. On the other hand, the world is sometimes very perplexing. The world and man as well. Man is also a rational being. You deal with him, I mean, he's rational. Not only rational, he's good, he's generous, he's understanding. But man sometimes presents a different, just opposite picture. He becomes irrational, he becomes perplexed. And people don't understand him. The whole world is like that. I always say, it's very strange. Science has made tremendous progress. It's fantastic progress in the field of inorganic matter. Physics. Chemistry, inorganic matter. I mean, the whole technology is based upon our understanding of the behavior of inorganic matter. As far as organic matter is concerned, science is very much behind. And all the scholars in the world, it's strange, all the scholars in the world, they placed the man on the moon, and with such precision, I mean, just a few seconds, just an error of a few minutes, and the spot is within several inches, yes, are very helpless with regard to certain illnesses, to degenerative diseases. Very helpless. The people who sent up a man to the moon, circling around the moon and landing on the moon and taking off and departing of the moon, do nothing, cannot do anything. If there is one cell goes berserk, and begins to develop not in accordance with the accordance, not in accordance with the requirement of the organism. In science, there is a mystery. There is a mystery, and the mystery of life for a long, long time, people, it's not just on our threshold, the solution, I mean, the mystery of life. It will take us a long, 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 long time. So apparently, the same world, which is so generous in giving us information about itself, as far as inorganic matter is concerned, is very stingy, almost a miser nature, and refuses, I mean, to yield any information about our own lives also. As a matter of fact, in our private lives, we have also, I mean, the experience of love and the experience of trellis. There is not a single man in the world who did not live through or did not experience the rationality of the universe. And there is not a single person who did not experience or did not, was not confronted with the mystery and the puzzle of the universe. And that's exactly what trellis all about. And beautiful is what Rebbe says, Meakvin says, they are interdependent. So not a single person can say, I've always been happy, I've always been successful, my ambitions all came through, I've never been defeated. I mean, some fool can say it. I mean, the American people had the legend, the myth. They've never been defeated. They've always emerged victorious on war. So Vietnam came and convinced them. In the American myth, I mean, people who came later, America in the 50s, 60s, don't know. But I remember when I came to America in the 30s. So what I couldn't understand, I was so self-confident. It was sometimes ridiculous. We couldn't lose a war. I remember my children used to go to school. We used to discuss some politics and some mistakes made by the president or by the State Department. So I remember Chaim used to bang on the table, we never lost a war, we'll never lose a war. It's me. They did not see the streak of trellis. And what happened? The great, powerful United States has lost a war in Vietnam against the primitive people. We are losing the war now against communism. Then trellis, but in order to be capable, of course we are Jews, certainly, I mean, if we had that approach of Lovan to our own history, we would not fight for Eretz Yisrael now. From the standpoint of Lovan, is the whole business of Eretz Yisrael just a big hoax? What do you mean? I mean, you come into a land which was populated by Arabs. The land is adjacent to Arab land on all sides. There are about 100 million Arabs. Come here, a million Jews come in. I mean, all right, they have now 2.5 million, all right, 3 million, 4 million. It's bottle beruf. And the Arabs are rich, we are poor. They control all the wealth of the world because of their oil. And we are ready, I mean, Begin is ready to fight. Because the land was promised to us by the Almighty, I mean, 4,000 years ago. The Goyim who prefer the approach of Lovan, they want to see things in the light of logic, everything within the frame of reference of rationality, of world politics, the world power and politics, the world economy. You don't understand our viewpoint. You don't understand what it's all about. I have no complaints against Carter. If I were a Goy, I would also think like that. Hubert Humphreys told Senator Stone, who carried a message to the Israeli government, for God's sake, tell them to speak a language which you understand. Not speaking symbols, it's not a question of mysticism. So let them speak a language which treats problems of economy and politics. Real politics. They don't understand, I mean. We have complaints. We are not satisfied with the world. We feel lonely. We are lonely people. But you want the Goy to have the approach of trellis to our history. No Goy can understand it. But in order that the Jew has this twofold approach of Lovan and trellis, but in order to to be able not only to be a victor, but sometimes to take defeat. It doesn't do any harm to a person who takes defeat. So one quality is required of the Trilas: permanence, loyalty, steadfastness as far as commitments are concerned. Loyal to an ancient tradition which should have been forgotten long ago. Devotion, absolute, unqualified, unreserved devotion to a commitment which we took upon ourselves 3,500 or 4,000 years ago. And that's why the Rambam requires that the trailers be permanent. If it's just color you, it is derived from a plant which lasts for a while and then fades because of the sun shone light, fades because of moisture and so forth. This is not chilas. This is not the Jew, the approach of the Jew to his own history. That's what Ram says. Chilas, I mean, this is the same blue, but kolayil is a blue which disappears. The Jew committed himself to Eretz Yisrael, of course, I mean, the covenant with Abraham. But a covenant of 4,500 years ago, I mean, the dawn of our history, I mean, who keeps such agreements? People who have the approach of love, I mean, laugh at us. I mean, they don't understand that. The other day, Noachim Goldman told me, he was speaking with Kissinger, so Kissinger told him, he's studying Josephus now, he's reading Josephus. It's very strange coincidence. They accused Josephus of treason, They accused Noam Goldman, and Kissinger as well.
That's why he was
very strange. Yeah, he told. But he said something which touched and moved me. Not moved me, but there is. And I am comparing the story of Josephus with the story of the State of Israel of now. And there is one similarity, that the Jew has a suicidal tendency. As a matter of fact, there was a book at, was published. It got into my hands just incidentally. It's written in French, was translated in English, on the day on which Jerusalem was burning, by two Jews written. What did they do? Did they do that?
The day Jerusalem was burned.
Yeah. And they did it cleverly. They just, on one page, they copied Josephus, the same thing. On the other page, they copy items from the modern press. And of course, in that time, you know, even Rabbi Akiva was of the, not Rabbi Yechem Ezak was the opinion that the Jews should compromise and give in. But their opinion was rejected. And what happened? Catastrophe, disaster struck. But of course, I mean, this phrase, from suicidal tendency, will be rejected by us. But the Jew has a tendency, a certain tendency, which the rest of the world does not understand. And this is Tchilas. Our history is a mystery to ourselves. Our history is a mystery to ourselves. But there is tremendous devotion, tremendous commitment. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you frankly, I admire now the American Jews. When the Holocaust took place, American Jewry did not react properly. We could have saved many. Of course, you know, Roosevelt was no good, and the State Department was anti-Semitic with Secretary Cordell Hull. I mean, but we did not exert any pressure. Not at all. I mean, when I say Chatosi not only with regard to the American Jewry, with regard to myself. Somebody suggested to me, and he's right, that in the Al-Chet, Yom Kippur, a new Al-Chet should be included. Al-Chet shechotonu ba'acheinu ve'erope, v'sho sheishchanenu eleinu v'lei shamanu. It is true. But American Jew reacts differently now. With more courage. He's not a frightened immigrant anymore. He's an American. With more courage, with more chutzpah. There is the quality of trailers begins to show as far as the American Jewish community is concerned. As a matter of fact, the Jewish institution of marriage, and it's an old, old, old institution. It goes back to the day, to the first Friday, that mysterious day on which God, introduced Eve to Adam. And this is, and the community, and the marriage community was established in the following words. Okay, Yazif is a semen, a solid semen. Vedovak be ishtay, hoyu lebosar echad. It means this institution of marriage is to take, unites two people with two backgrounds, with two approaches to life, with two individualities, which sometimes have very little in common. But marriage unites them. And marriage unites two people for two purposes. To see the world through the prism of love, and also to be capable of meeting the world, or confronting the world, when it acts funny. And the world becomes mystery, mysterium tremendum, a frightening mystery. And the world becomes puzzling and perplexing. And sometimes, so the husband and wife are united to confront it. And particularly in modern life, we have to confront both the loving experience and the treacherous experience. And for that ability, one thing is necessary, a sense of loyalty. And it's a pleasure for me to be here and to participate in your Simcha, and the Simcha of Rabbi Holzer, and Mrs. Holzer, and the Simcha of Yismachutin. First time I had the pleasure to meet. And with Rabbi Holzer, the relationship, and Talmud, friend. You see, I know, I relax with him. I have sincere friendship. There are people who are my friends, and I am their friend, but I can't relax with them. I get tense when they walk on and they walk in. Apparently there's something missing in our friendship, in our relationship. And he comes in. No, I think it's true. he comes in, somehow I feel at home with him. And I had the privilege to teach two of his children. Particularly the younger. You are the older or the younger? I don't know. My relationship with David can be expressed in the following sentence. He is my pupil and also my pal.
That's what to eat.
Really? We joke together. because in classroom, I become young. When I enter the classroom, I say, the youth returns to me. The other day, I visited the doctor, and he examined me. So finally, he asked me, what's your age? I told him, doctor, it depends where. In your office, 120. In my classroom, 20. I like young boys, and I become one of the gang, one of the band. This is the only way how to teach, and a teacher who does not lose years in the classroom and does not become one of his class cannot teach successfully. You teach pals, friends. You don't teach anything to anyone who is below you. And so I have some relationship to your Simcha. So you permit me to share your Simcha and to be involved in it. And to wish you all the luck in the world. Take care of the Chosin Mekal.
Thank you. Yeah.